This is the Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 38, Flipping Websites.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick here from SideHustleNation.com. This is the Side Hustle Show, number 38, Flipping Websites for Fun and Profit. I'm talking digital real estate today with Freddie McSell from ProjectPassive.com. Now, this conversation is all over the map. It's more of a fireside chat than your typical Side Hustle Nation interview, but if you give us the time, you're going to learn how to get niche website ideas, why building profitable sites and selling them can accelerate your side hustle income, and several valuable resources for research, due diligence, and more information. So I'm loving the steady stream of iTunes reviews coming in for the show. That definitely helps keep the motivation up to keep going, put out this content on a weekly basis, and it helps get it in front of more and more people. So this week, two new five-star reviews. Angie7373 says, very informative podcast, and Eyes Opened Civilian says, aspiring entrepreneur getting great direction from the show. Amazing content. So thank you guys so much for sharing those. And actually, if anyone listening to the show has a story where they took action based on some information from this podcast, please send me a note. It's easy. It's nick@sidehustlenation.com. I'd love to compile some of those stories for either a future episode or for the blog or just because it would be awesome to hear. Again, so if you have a side hustle story that was influenced by this show, send me an email and let me know about it, nick@sidehustlenation.com. And with that, let's get Freddie on the line. Hey, Freddie, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Nick.
Now, Freddie's a fellow side hustler and podcast host. You can follow along with his part-time entrepreneurial pursuits over at ProjectPassive.com. Now, by day, he's slinging pizzas, but by night, he's working on the biz and has found some success in flipping websites, and that's the topic for today's conversation. So, Freddie, take me kind of back in time. We're talking about flipping digital real estate. So what are the ground rules to somebody to get started in this?
Okay, so I mean, basically, when I got started back when Flippo was still the digital point forum, if you're familiar with digital point. And I really had no clue what I was doing. And the rules were a lot different then than they are now. So back whenever I first got started, you could just put it up a website. It was just screenshot. This is a screenshot of my financials. You weren't really sure if what these people were saying were real. So
that's super sketch.
Yeah, exactly. And because I mean, it was a new thing. Digital real estate was a brand new thing. Nobody really knew. There's no checks and balances in place at that point. And you know, back then I sold my first website for $1,000 on Flippa right when it first opened up. I was one of the first people to use Flippa.
Okay, so Flippa, for people who are not familiar, it's FLIPPA. We'll link to it in the show notes. It's the largest marketplace for buying and selling websites.
Yeah, and I actually have a couple points I want to bring up later about Flippa, some recent changes that have people up in arms. Okay. That I actually just found out about today. It kind of makes me mad because I've a pretty expensive website on Flippa right now, and I just realized I'm going to have to pay a lot more for it.
Yeah, they upped their cut, right? They upped their commission.
Yeah. Yeah, they sent a message to us that said, hey, we're lowering our listing fee to $19, which is a $10 drop. So I was like, oh, cool. That's really awesome. But at the same time, it kind of makes me think, like, all right, well, now there's going to be a bunch of other, like, sketchy people. $10 less just means sketchier people are going to be selling websites, and I don't know. I don't think it was a very good move for Flippa.
Yeah, but I mean, lower that barrier to entry into the marketplace, and you bring in more crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but they don't mention that they upped their success fee to 10%, which is I go through a lot of brokers, and brokers will only charge you 15% usually to sell your website. So they're pretty much almost charging the same amount as a broker, and you still have to, you know, do everything involved in it. If you want, you have to pay extra if you want to be on the front page. Like, they don't really do any work for you. They just provide the platform. So, I mean, I'm kind of, now I'm paying, if I'm paying a broker to list something on Flipboard, I'm paying 25% of the sale right off the top just to
oh wow,
and fees.
Okay, so it costs $19 to put on the website, and then another 10% if it actually sells.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just
what,
like,
was it, what was it before?
And there was no cap before. It was only 5%.
Oh, okay, so
which
they
is
doubled,
not bad at all. Yeah, they doubled it, and before there was a cap too. I think it capped at like $5,000 or $3,000 or something like that. So if you're selling sites that are in the $100,000 range, they're just hammering you for fees. Like, they're taking thousands of dollars off you.
Man.
So I mean, it opens up. I think it's going to open up the marketplace for other people to come in there, and other brokers to start, you know, curating websites for sale. I know the guys at Empire Flipper Podcast, they were talking about that, and they want to start, you know, doing just that, you know, curating websites that are for sale. So I know it's probably going to change the landscape of digital real estate, but I mean,
yeah. What's the famous, you know, Jeff Bezos quote? He says, you know, your margin is my opportunity. So, mm-hmm. You know, they're opening the gates up for some other competitors to come into the field, but that's okay. So how long have you been doing this?
I started in 2008 with I had a site that it sold Amazon Kindles. Right when the Amazon Kindles were about to come out, I said, okay, I'm going to make a website with information about the Amazon Kindle. And then I joined the Amazon affiliate program and sold it, made about $300 a month because I just got lucky and got an exact match domain, didn't even really try to.
Okay.
And it was kind of like honestly, it was kind of a fluke that I started making money online. And then I ended up selling that website for $1,000, which I could have got a lot more for, but I wasn't really sure.
Yeah, if it was making $300 a month, you think it would be worth a little bit more?
Yeah. So,
was there some risk, like in a trademark domain?
yeah, that was the thing. It was like an exact match Amazon Kindle domain, so I just wanted to get rid of it after I found out that, and some guy bought it off me. And at a month, I don't think he ever even used it. I think a month after he bought it from me, it wasn't even online anymore, so I don't know what ever happened to that. But that was how I got started. And then I got back into it by creating – I just got back into it the past couple of years, creating some niche sites that I've sold off. I actually got back into it creating a niche site selling Amazon Kindle again.
Oh, okay. Ended up selling, you know, go football. With what's tried and true. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, all the way back up to today, I'm actually launching my first drop shipping site that I'm selling DJ equipment off of here in the next 14 days. And then hopefully in the next year or two, I'll be able to sell this site. So now I'm starting to, like, you know, build up into bigger websites, like more complex websites. And, you know, I got the marketing process down a little bit better, social media marketing, and I don't know. I just trucking away, trying to get it done, make some money.
So is your main deal building sites from scratch on your own, and then you know, monetizing them, and then turning around and to sell them to get that quick influx of cash, rather than sitting on them and collecting the income month after month?
Yeah. My thing is I would rather just create these sites that start making money and just get a year's worth of profit off of it real quick. And then, like, basically I'm just making these sites that I know I can make money with. They're making like $100-$200 a month, and I want to get the, you know, all that money up front so I sell the website. Because I mean, in the long run, if I create a website that's about, like, say I find a gap and I could rank for a keyword involving like knitting or something, I have no real interest in knitting. So I just want to sell this website. I'm just, you know, I'll outsource. If it's that boring to me, I'll outsource the content, because I can't even, like, I've tried to create content for niche sites that I had no interest in. And it is like the, like, worst thing you could ever try to do, because one, it's gonna be boring to the people who actually are interested in it, and maybe offensive if you're that, like, if they can tell you're that, like, I mean, they're just not gonna enjoy your content. So if you're that bored with whatever niche site you're creating, I would definitely suggest outsourcing the work.
Yeah, let's back it up a little bit to say, to start with, so what criteria do you look for before getting into a niche? Like, if you're like, okay, my next project is going to be this DJ equipment site, for example, how did you decide to get in? Like, were you doing some keyword research, or like, what made that an attractive niche to get started with?
Okay, so basically the way that I do it is I have my iPhone, and I have like a little note that I have in there for all ideas that I come up with that I want to research. So I'll be going through the day, and I'll see, like, the reason why I thought about this was I ran into this guy that was a DJ and started talking to him. So I wrote down on my little notepad, research DJ equipment, whatever. Okay. And, you know, I go throughout my day, like, if somebody says something that catches my attention, like, that might be a possible niche that I can make money in, or even if I don't even think I'm going to make money in, I'll still write it down, just because you never know, like, how big, like, how much money people are spending in an industry before you research it. So that's how I come up with the ideas. It's really just random. It depends on who I run into during the day and who I talk to.
Okay.
And it all just depends on how open you are to talking to complete strangers, which I'm really open with doing. So it works out.
Well, I'm a little more introverted, but I do like the idea of just keeping, and, you know, some people, you know, advocate, you know, having a pad and pen, but I just use the little notes app on my phone, and it's, you know, pages and pages and pages of stuff. And every now and again, I'll go through there and be like, oh yeah, I was going to, you know, and then do the research on that and stuff. So I like that idea.
Yeah. And then basically after that is just a matter of plugging it into, I use Market Samurai for keyword research. And there's like a, you know, there's criteria that make a keyword profitable. You know, I mean, basically a lot of people make the mistake of they just use like the Google AdWords keyword planner tool, and they'll see like that a keyword has, you know, they'll see high on the competition, and they'll think, oh well, I'm not going to rank for that, because they don't realize that high just means there's a high amount of people bidding on that keyword for AdWords and advertising. That doesn't mean there's relatively a lot of competition every single time.
So high competition in the Google keyword planner is strictly for AdWords. It doesn't mean you still might be able to rank for it organically, and that might actually be a good sign, right? If all these companies are spending money to get in front of those searchers.
Yes, exactly. Like, I mean, if people, that is always a good sign. I love to see high competition, because that means a lot of, there's money being spent in the industry, which means there's in turn money being made in the industry.
No, and, that's good. I had the totally opposite. Every time I see high, I'm like, it's not going to work.
Let's get to know. Exactly. A lot of people do. And the thing is, like, you want a keyword that has high competition, because that means money is flowing through that industry. And a lot of, like, I know, especially for this dropshipping website that I'm making right now, I'm focusing right now on getting on product feeds. It's like, you know how in Google you'll see, like, say you type in like a certain product, like a little carousel of products will show up on the top of the search results now?
Yeah, they're product listing ads.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm using this website called singlefeed.com, and it puts your products in a feed for Google, for eBay, like all different types of product feeds.
Okay.
And like, that's how I'm advertising my product. And I'm not really focusing on SEO at this point for this website. I just want to see how that goes. So say like you're trying to rank for like the certain piece of equipment, and you see that it says high competition. Those people that are bidding on that might have never even tried to optimize their page for SEO. So there might not be, you know, it might not be hard to rank. So what you really need to look at is what's the page rank of the top 10. You know, is the title optimized? Is the page optimized? Look at their meta tags. You know, if the pages aren't optimized for the keyword, then, you know, that's a good sign that you can get in there. depending on, you know, if what the page rank is.
Yeah, that's one thing that Spencer from Niche Pursuits say, like during his competition research, would look at the top 10 results and be like, do they have that exact keyword in their title tag? If they don't, you know, that's a sign of weakness. That's a sign of opportunity for that keyword.
I don't even realize. I've talked to him a lot online, just because being in, you know, flipping websites or whatever.
Yeah.
And I saw he was sitting right in front of me at New Media Expo. And I didn't even realize that he turned around to me, and I was like, "Oh, what's up?"
Yeah, that's awesome. There was like, you know, it was like a gathering of all the, you know, famous online faces. It was fun.
Yeah, no, really. It was everyone who was famous. It's like all like the A-list online celebrities.
Yeah, which is like, you know, nowhere else in the world would they be recognized at all. That's a kind of celebrity to be, I think.
I know. It really is.
So what we do, we've got to circle back in 6 months and figure out, we'll talk about this drop shipping business. That sounds fascinating to me too. But let's kind of circle back to if somebody doesn't want to go through the work of doing the research and building the site from scratch themselves, so we mentioned Flippa, like, are you looking, do you ever buy, so you've bought a couple sites on there, but do you buy anything lately?
I have not, I haven't bought anything lately. I have been like, I've been bidding on websites lately. I haven't won anything recently because I haven't really, I don't know, I've just been doing it here and there. Like I see something as I'm listing something, I'll be on the site and I'll see something that I like, and I'll place a bid, but then I never follow through, or it just gets out of hand and it turns into like an $8,000 thing, and I'm not going to bid on that.
Yeah, is there opportunity at the lower end of the market? Like for me, this sounds like an interesting experiment. Like I could come up with a case study for the site, but it's like, you know, my comfort level of buying a site, you know, it seems like, is there opportunity like in the low thousand to 5,000 range?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity, and like that's now from my point of view, this is what I'm doing. I'm looking for websites that I'm usually just looking for domains that have high page rank, and you always have to double check the page rank, because sometimes people will put fake page rank on there. I don't even know how they do it, but people have fake page rank. But I look for websites that have page rank around like 3 or 4. And that are selling for really low, and I'll try to buy them for a couple $100, because then you can add, like, say you have a website that you're trying to rank, you could add similar content to that domain, and it's already page rank 4, and then link back to your site, and it gives you a lot of link juice. So I try to go on there and find cheap, high PR domains that, and you have to, there's, I mean, if you go to quicksprout.com, Neil Patel's site, and look in his university, there's a video on this, on how to buy high PR sites. And there's like a whole list of criteria that you need to go through, because people could, like, somebody else could have bought that domain before and spammed the crap out of it, and it's not really worth anything anymore. Okay. So you have to check. It's usually good to only buy domains like this if they've only had one or two owners. And just do your, you know, do your due diligence, make sure it wasn't used as a spam site before, and that'll give good link juice to you.
Okay, so this is more of an SEO play rather than, hey, I'm going to buy this and monetize this.
Yeah, but I mean, coming from people who buy my sites, I think a lot of them are just looking to add something to their passive income portfolio.
Exactly.
And a big thing that those people look for is a site that isn't going to require a lot of work. So say like it's a site that does require some work. There's like a process involved to making the sale. You need to figure out a way to outsource that, so that, and figure that cost into the monthly expenses and make sure that you're still making a profit, because that will make it more appealing to people who are coming through. They just want a site that's going to make money on autopilot, per se. So you need to have employees that are already in place, virtual assistants or whatever, that are taking care of the day-to-day tasks of your website, and make sure that it doesn't cost more than what you're actually making per month.
So if you've got a site and it's bringing in $1,000 a month, which, you know, that would be an awesome side hustle, right? And you've got to pay some writer a couple $100 a month to create articles for you. Maybe that's like way out of line. and so your net would be $800 a month. Like, how much would a site like that sell for? Like, how much could you get for that on the open market?
If you had that already set up, you had a website that's making about $1,000 a month, and you're spending $200 on, say, content creation and like some kind of link building or something, you spend a total of $200 on that a month, I think that site would be worth more in the eyes of buyers than a site that's making like $1,200 a month, but you actually have to do something. Like, I think your site would sell more, even though technically you're not making as much per month, just because there's not as much work involved. Taking the work out of the process for the buyer really can help your price go up a lot.
Do you find that most buyers are really looking for a passive income, kind of a cash flow vehicle to diversify their portfolio?
Yeah, I would say probably 9 out of 10 people are looking for something that's not going to require much work whatsoever. So, you know, really get down a process that you can show them, you know, a documented process that you can show them how you do it, how it's done, make it really simple for them.
Right. And be like, hey, this is going to cost you 1 hour a week and you're going to earn the $800. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing too. Writing down the time, like things that the buyers look for, the process that it takes to run the site, like how does the sale happen? Who's running, like who's creating the content or whatever. So who your employees are, how much time it takes to run the site, and then just a breakdown of your expenses and versus profit. Like, and that'll be like a lot. Most people don't even write that down. So buyers are just confused thinking like, okay, how many different softwares is it using that we don't know about? It's going to cost us $20 here, $20 there. So really, you know, make sure you have your expenses written down and how much time you know, your time expense too. So that'll help out with your sale.
Do you have any resources you like to use for outsourcing you know, writers or other tasks?
Well, most of the outsourcing that I do now, I wouldn't recommend writing with this, but most of the out, like for logos and stuff like that, any design work, I go with Fiverr.
Okay.
Because I mean, it's just cheap. And you can find some, like I found some decent people on Fiverr that I've been using for a while, and you know, they do quality work for $5, so why not, you know?
Definitely.
But for content, I use one of two. I use either freelancer.com or I use elance.com, and you know, those people, you can find somebody who will write. On Freelancer especially, you can find someone who will write like 35 articles for, you know, 400 word articles for like $100. Like people will write the content for you for real cheap on Freelancer. On Elance, though, it'll cost you a little bit more, but you'll have a lot better quality, I think.
Okay.
So it just depends on how much money. If you're willing to spend that little bit of extra money, it's worth it with Elance.
Yeah, so $3 an article roughly on Freelancer when you buy it in a package deal like that. I imagine the quality is not amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and Google really likes to see articles that are over like 1,000 words, is what I'm told. So I mean, 400, like a 400 word article, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what you want to go with. You'd have to combine a couple articles together, I guess.
Okay.
But I would just, I mean, if you have a little bit extra money, and I'm not talking like hundreds of dollars, I mean, you could do, I mean, and you don't have to put out tons of content a month. Like, you could put out 3 really good articles as opposed to like 10 really crappy ones, and you'll do a lot better. And you could get a really good article, 1,000-word article for $25, $30. So there's like $100 right there, and you have really high quality content for your site.
Gotcha. So if I'm looking to buy a site for passive income, do I go to Flippa? It seems like it's like the you know, it's like any other marketplace. Like once it hits like real estate, like once it hits the MLS, like, you know, now everybody can see it and kind of these marketplace efficiencies take effect. Like, do you ever go like off the grid and like try and find sites, you know, that aren't listed anywhere and people maybe aren't even aware that they're, you know, for sale, or the people have like never considered selling them before or something like that?
Yeah. Actually, that's a good point, because I really, like, I could tell you probably 50% of the time, I don't even buy websites on Flippa. Like, it's good to look at. It kind of catches me when I'm there. Like, I'll start looking at sites just because I'm on the website. But a great place to find websites for that are really cheap are I found them on eBay before. I'm not sure if they actually allow you to sell them on eBay anymore. But I used to find really good websites for sale on eBay for really cheap because nobody was going there looking. Another place you can look is Warrior Forum. There's websites on there for real cheap. But the thing with those sites,
like damaged goods.
Yeah, exactly. Like the thing with those sites are you really need to like buy a due diligence report, or you know, you just really have to do your homework on them, because those people are like people who are on Warrior Forum, like I hate to say it, 90% of those people are just there to make money, and they could care less if they're actually selling you something that's worth your time or worth your money.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, it's safer. The thing with Flippa is it created like a safe marketplace for people. But if you really, I mean, I wouldn't suggest when you're starting out to look on other sites besides Flippa, just because you have to, you know, there's certain things that'll be warning signs for you that you'll notice. Screenshots, but no videos of the income reports, and you know, and some people they'll have like 10 websites all make one sale per month, but they'll make the price of the product the same, so it'll look like they're making like all this money, and those are the type of people that post other places than Flippa, you know. And I mean, there's still scammers on Flippa, don't get me wrong, but it's just few and far between. It's a lot easier to do homework on a Flippa seller just because they make you put down your Google Analytics, and it's verified. So, and you can verify AdSense income as well. So,
gotcha. I mean, it's just a lot. So you mentioned buying. You mentioned buying a due diligence report. Where would somebody go if they wanted to invest in that? Like, if they're looking at a higher dollar sale and just want to be safe.
Honestly, I can't even remember the name of the site. I'll bring it up real quick for you. I'll just mention it in a second. It starts with a C. I can't even remember. I have it saved in my bookmarks. But it's definitely worth it. I mean, if you're going to make if you have a couple thousand dollars that you're investing into a site, you know, spend the money on a due diligence report. And you can buy them from more than one place. And Flippa actually offers one there that you can buy off the site. So,
okay. And so these are looking, so the due diligence report is looking at stuff like the backlink profile to make sure there's not a ton of spammy links pointing at the site. What else are they looking for?
They'll just, you know, and another thing too is due diligence reports are good for people that are selling websites, because it'll show you what's wrong with your website and it'll give you a score. So that you know, like, okay, I have like these spammy links, or like sometimes people, if you start ranking for a keyword, people will do negative SEO on you, and they'll start like, you know, putting your backlinks on really spammy sites, and they'll just try to make you go down in the rankings. So if you see that, you can try to correct that and get those links taken off the sites. And it'll tell you if you have any, like if you've been penalized by Penguin or Panda, like any of the updates, and you know, it shows you your link profile and you know how you, like where you are, like where when you registered, like it gives you like exact dates when the domain was registered, and you know, it's just a bunch of stats that are, you know, not all of them are really that important. It just gives you everything possible.
Yeah, that's my take on it. It's like, you know, if something is bringing in $1,000 a month, why do I want to sell that? Like, I want to, you know, I want to milk that cash flow for as long as I can. But other people are more interested in getting that quick exit and maybe investing those earnings in another project or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like a lot. I mean, the people who are legitimately making $1,000 a month on their sites and they're selling them, they're just looking for the bigger picture. Like they have something bigger in mind that they necessarily don't have the funding for at this point. They can't get the funding. So they're just trying to sell a bunch of, you know, websites that aren't making as much money so that they can fund a bigger project.
Now, when Chris Guthrie was on the show, he mentioned the, you know, sites are priced based on like a multiple of your monthly earnings. He says probably between 12 months on the low end and maybe even as high as 36 months for like a super established site. Is that kind of consistent with what you're seeing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people, they'll try to sell their site after it's making money for 3 months. And, you know, those people aren't going to get 12 months. Usually those people will get like 3 or 4 months of what they're making, because, I mean, you can never, like, a lot of people who sell after 3 months, they might be a scam.
Yeah, it's higher risk because they don't have that history.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you've had the website for a year, then you're looking and you've been making consistent money over the year, and, you know, the profits are going up, the traffic's going up, then you're starting to look at the 12 to 24 month profit range. I think after a year of solid profits, you would most likely get at least a year's worth of profits back from selling the website.
Okay.
Maybe it just depends on, you know, the industry and who's really bidding that day. If somebody's out there that has the money and wants the site.
Yeah, have you ever bought or sold anything from Empire Flippers?
No, I haven't actually. I was actually thinking about using them for my new dropshipping site when I sell it.
Okay.
But I haven't currently done any business with them.
Yeah, I'm tempted to pull the trigger on one of these, but, you know, they're asking for 20 months earnings as like fixed price, like no bidding required, which is kind of nice. But they don't tell you the domain. You can't do any research. They say like, hey, we vetted these for you. And so there's a lot of trust involved, and you're paying a little bit of a premium because and you don't really know. And you have to pay a deposit, like non-refundable deposit, just to like get more information.
Yeah, and I know, I saw that. But I mean, I think those guys, they just have the stees, you know, like they can do that just because of who they are, and like people know and trust them. People have gone through them.
Right. So, right. And I'm not saying I distrust them because they're good guys. But yeah, it just makes me a little bit nervous to plunk down that kind of cash for, you know, just a couple of numbers on the page, and you'll see like, oh, this site was only registered like, you know, 6 months ago. So, you know, they don't have, you know, that big of a track record of earnings history.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I think, have you tried contacting them and asking them for more information without putting money down, or?
I haven't done any of that.
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, that's, I mean, how much are they asking down? I'm not really sure. I haven't looked.
I think it's like a 5%, you know, deposit.
Oh, really? Just, yeah. I mean, I'm sure with that type of money being spent, like they have to give you some kind of something before they sell the website. I mean, sign like a non-disclosure agreement or something, and then, you know, they show you what it is.
Yeah.
I can't see why they wouldn't do that, but who knows?
Yeah, that makes me a little bit nervous, but that's good to know.
Yeah, I mean, if you have $20,000 laying around and you don't really need it, you don't really care about it. Yeah, there you go. Maybe you want to do that, but
yeah, it's like play money, and that's what it is. Like, you could set aside a little bit of play money, right, to buy sites. And say, this is going to be my, you know, passive income portfolio, because the, you know, on paper, the ROI is incredible. Like, even if you buy at 24 months earnings, you know, that's a 50% ROI every year. Where are you going to find that in the stock market or mutual fund or something? Like, that's insane. So I can see the value of it. I can see kind of like allocating a little bit of the portfolio to try and do this stuff. But just like, yeah, I'm nervous about getting burned or buying some crappy site that is going to get penalized in the next Google update, and then it's all wasted. So I guess it's high risk, high reward.
Yeah, exactly. That's just what it boils down to right now. I mean, Flippos tried to, I mean, make it as safe as possible with the checks that they have on their site. But I mean, there's still ways for people to get around it. So I mean, it's just really about doing homework beyond what Flippos is offering, or even any broker or whatever. It's just really about doing homework beyond what they're offering, checking to make sure there's no penalties on the site, or, you know, checking to make sure the site's not going to be penalized, like they don't have any sketchy link profile. I mean, you really just have to do your homework if you're going to invest that type of money into something.
Yeah. So for you, do you have any income targets of like what you like to get out of a site before you turn around and sell it, or kind of how does that work?
Yeah, I try to get the sites up to the $800 to $1,000 range right now. I mean, before, I was selling them when they were at $200 to $300 range, and I was making not that much money. And I found that it was a lot better to sell them at that point, because for one, you're making $1,000 per month. It might not all be profit, but I mean, you have money coming in every month. So
it's primarily nice. AdSense or affiliate earnings.
Actually, I don't use AdSense at all, just because I didn't even sign up, because there's so many people who have had bad experiences with AdSense that I will never sign up for AdSense, because it's just not worth it. Your site, like one day your site's making money and then the next day it's not. And that's just, I mean, that's just really stressful. So I try to make a lot of my sites sell their own products, so that like digital information products or physical products or like affiliate products. Okay. I don't really like to do advertising per se, because I think that it's kind of dying out for niche sites. Like Google's trying to stray away from allowing people to use AdSense on niche sites, because it's just like, that's why there's so many spam sites around, because of AdSense, people being able to make money off the traffic going to the site, you know?
Yeah. They created this, this entire ecosystem, and now they're trying to clean it up, and it's just, you know, a constant dance, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't even want to get involved with AdSense and their nonsense. So I steer clear of those websites altogether.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so it sounds like we're aiming for a little bit of a higher value site. I think, you know, the days of the 5-page niche site are probably numbered. So it sounds like you're building a little bit more of some authoritative, you know, I guess people call them authority sites, you know, instead of versus niche sites, but like something that is actually going to provide some real value and not just drive people to, you know, click on some AdSense link.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's just where the world's coming. That's what the online world is coming to. Nobody wants the, like, people are becoming smarter now that they know what a spammy site looks like. And you're just not going to make money off that anymore as much as you could have when the internet first, you know, was new and people had no clue what they're clicking on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right now you just want to create value, and you want to social is playing a big role in SEO. So you want to make sure you have social accounts for all your websites. Make sure you have a presence online, because that's another thing sellers look at too. Like if they can't find anything about your website on social media, they're going to think like, all right, well, you know, is this guy even real? Like, is this a real website? Like, if you're having conversations and real interactions with your customers or like your readers or whatever, it's just one more thing to help you look more legit. And it's also a good signal for Google that you're an authority on the topic.
Do you build under your name, or do you use a pen name?
I'll create a pen name for every website that I create.
Okay.
So, because I mean, I have Project Passive, which I use under my real name. So I didn't want, you know, all these other sites pointing back to my regular profiles. It would just get confusing. So
yeah.
I try to keep it all organized with different pen names. So
no, that makes sense. Cause right. You want to get that. Well, you know, if Google Plus thinks you're an expert, right, on niche sites and Project Passive and stuff, it wouldn't make sense to confuse them and say, "Oh, I'm also now an expert on DJ equipment or knitting or something like that." So I think you gotta make it fit the site for sure.
Yeah, exactly, and that's exactly the reason why I do separate profiles for everything.
So $1,000 a month. So this is going to sell for, you know, if you've got solid earnings history, this is going to sell between 12,000 and 24,000.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you have to have solid income proof. And I mean, making a site earn $1,000 a month is a lot harder than it looks.
No, it's not either. I mean, we're just throwing it around like, oh yeah, a couple months later, all right, we're good.
Yeah, boom, $1,000. But no, you really have to, like, I would start out just like I did, trying to get a site to $200 and then flipping your first site just to get just to get a feel for it. You'll get a lot better understanding from actually doing it than from listening to me talk about it on a podcast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the best advice I can give you. Just try to get a site to earn $200 a month. Just use something simple like Amazon affiliate program to get started out, and then, you know, learn from there, make mistakes, and, you know, figure out what works and what doesn't.
Definitely. I guess we should wrap things up. We're running a little bit long, but we should wrap up, Freddie, with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Okay, so my number one tip for Side Hustle Nation on flipping niche sites is, I'm kind of on the spot
right
now.
It doesn't have to be about flipping sites. It could be about anything entrepreneurial related.
This was my number one tip right here, is to build a list. No matter what business that you are doing, no matter if it's DJ equipment or you're selling a knitting product, build an email list.
Very good. I love it. And that's something I started a little bit late in the game with, but I'm happy that a year from now, you'll be wishing you started today, So definitely do that if you're not already. Well, Frey, thanks so much for coming on the show. And we'll have to have you back in a few months and see how this dropshipping thing is going. That's something that would be good to learn about too.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. If anybody wants to find me, just hit me up on Twitter. That's where I usually hang out, at Freddie Mixel.
Perfect. And projectpassive.com. I like it.
All right. Thanks.
All right. See you soon.
Yeah, buddy. Build up those sites. Turn them over. Nice little side hustle he's got going on there. Check out sidehustlenation.com/episode38 for all the show notes. Lots of links over there. And hey, Freddie mentioned his number one tip was to build a list. So speaking of that, if you're not already on the Side Hustle Nation email list, what are you waiting for? I'll send you my Cliff Notes style guide to the world's best business books as a subscribe bribe. And I'll keep you up to date on all the side hustle experiments and happenings on the site. Your direct link is sidehustlenation.com/join, sidehustlenation.com/join. You'll hear from me usually once a week on Thursdays, nothing too crazy. And that's it for the show. Until next time, go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you next week in episode 39.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.